You are listening to Cut Gym Newsletter Speaks, the podcast for Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. This is episode 23. JJ Sefton here. And for this episode, it's just going to be me and my colleague and good friend, CBD. CBD, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You folks are lucky enough to be able to hear our dulcet voices for the entire time, or yeah, the 30 seconds you hear us and then tune out. But that's, you know, that's your call.
Absolutely, absolutely. So anyway, on the tap, we have a number of topics, and today is the day after the primary elections in several states, and the marquee race seems to be that everyone is talking about. First of all, it's all the picks, really, of Donald Trump and what that portends for the MAGA movement vis-a-vis taking over the Republican Party going forward into the elections and then for the midterms and then in 2024. But the marquee race was, of course, the Senate seat in Pennsylvania, where we had a number of candidates, and it sort of boiled down at the end to Mehmet Oz, David McCormick, and an outsider named Kathy Barnett. And so far, as a result of the race, it's a dead heat between Oz and McCormick, and Kathy Barnett has been, unfortunately, she has been eliminated from that race. And it just is, it's a puzzle. We were talking about this before we went on the air. Is Mehmet Oz, to me, is a non-starter. I don't care. I just think he's too close to Oprah Winfrey, and is one thing. It's bad enough. And Oprah Winfrey was the one who saddled us with Barack Obama for 8 years. And also the fact that Oz's statements that are on record, he is anti-gun, and he is also very, very pro-transsexual, transgenderism. And
so don't be unfair. He changed all of that in the last 3 months. He's now an ardent Second Amendment supporter, and he is ardently against the mutilation of children.
Yes, he has evolved.
Yes, I mean, he has evolved.
Actually, a better word is mutated. he's in the sea of people looking at him funny, and he's going, "Oh, I better change my views and look like I'm a conservative." But it's really just what's interesting about this race is, and we'll get to just the smearing of Kathy Barnett, and she's had some interesting positions, but really, she has a very compelling story about being the child of a rape survivor, and her mother did not abort her, and she is, you know, she's come out very strongly against abortion. But really, what puzzles me is, why did Donald Trump support Mehmet Oz in the first place, and why are all of his acolytes, like people like, you know, Rick Grinnell and Ben Carson, are throwing their support behind Oz, and really just. It's a puzzle to me. I can't figure it out.
Well, I think it's certainly part of his ego needs to be stroked. And Oz is an intelligent man, and he stroked Trump's ego. Plus, Oz is in the news. He's a well-known lunatic. Let's be fair. You know, he was a superb physician, a brilliant professor of cardiac surgery. And he decided that wasn't enough. And that he became this new age medicine preacher who touted, you know, the latest and greatest, no matter how insane it might have been. And as I said, he's a bit of a loon. He's also a dual citizen of Turkey and the United States, which I think immediately disqualifies him to be a United States senator. I know that the Supreme Court allowed that beginning in the 70s. It makes no sense to me at all. I think it's a dual loyalty, and we don't need that in the Senate. I'm an ardent Semite. I love Israel. I'm a Zionist. And I'm not sure that I would be happy with a senator who had dual citizenship with Israel, even though I think that Israel is a fine ally and a friend of America. We need to draw the line, and that's one of the lines that I would draw.
Yeah, I agree with you on dual citizenship. On people who are naturalized citizens and have been here for a while, I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with that. Of course, you know, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, whatever, you know, screw your freedoms, was the governor of California, and well, he was horrible, but again, if you just take that example aside, no, I'm sure there are very fine people who were naturalized and could very well serve. I think there is a proscription against that in the Constitution of at least getting the presidency. I think you have to be an actual Native American citizen. I don't think you can be naturalized. But again, that's kind of, in a way, it's kind of ridiculous, since the founding fathers were all, you know, they weren't Native Americans, they were British citizens. So there you have it. But going back to, you know, to your point about Trump, yeah, it's an ego thing. He, you know, God bless him, he has a very large ego. And you know something? God bless him, he can have a large ego, because he has been a very successful businessman, and he's been incredibly successful president and basically achieving, you know, the economic miracle of miracles almost all by himself. He's had very little help from a Congress, even when the Congress was Republican, and certainly no help when we lost the Congress in the midterms in his first term. But his ability, he picks Oz, I think, because in a way it mirrors his. He has this notion that the celebrity name recognition is going to be helpful, you know, to the cause in dragging the guy over the finish line. Oh, Dr. Oz, he's great, he's wonderful.
Absolutely right. I think that's a big part of it. Problem though is that he didn't look deeply enough into Mehmet Oz's politics. He has a chaotic political philosophy. It's grounded in absolutely nothing. I will not be surprised at all if Oz wins, and I'm not so sure that he's going to win the nomination, but let's say he wins the nomination and he becomes the junior senator from Pennsylvania. It would not surprise me at all if he voted just like Romney, or even worse. You know, he would be a fierce independent, like that knucklehead from Maine and the commie from Vermont. I see nothing in Mehmet Oz that comforts me that he is going to be a conservative in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing with Kathy Barnett was she was this unknown quantity. And at the beginning, when she started to, you know, when she was really surging, I guess it was a week and a half or maybe 2 weeks ago, she was really threatening to really steal the show there. All of a sudden, you had all these reports about, well, in 2016, she was anti-Trump and so on and so forth. And
you know, something in 2016, I was anti-Trump.
Well, exactly.
Late 2015, I was anti-Trump. I was I was very, very suspicious of him. Things change, but look, getting back to Trump's endorsement of Oz, he would have been much better served had he simply bowed out of that race. He could have said, "We have several staunch conservatives. I think any number of them could be a fine U.S. senator. We need to support the Republican Party. We need to get behind the nominee, blah, 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 blah. Be the political man for once." But he chose not to for the reasons that you've articulated. And I think it's going to bite him in the ass. He has pissed off a fair number of Pennsylvanians because they don't like Oz. He just showed up in Pennsylvania. I think he was born in Pennsylvania, but
yeah, where he now, wound up, I'm not, yeah, probably, I mean, wherever he was, in New York, or I don't know where, he's in New York, I think.
He was at Columbia for years and years and years. Bingo. So he's certainly a child of Pennsylvania, but, you know,
sure.
Carpetbagging is...
Exactly. I just wanted to get just another point about Barnett is that, so there was that whole thing. And yes, I was definitely vehemently anti-Trump and pro-Ted Cruz, you know, until the moment where it was over, the primary was over, Trump won it, and then I was backing him, and I was backing him really more at that point just because of a fear of Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton would have destroyed the country right then and there. In fact, all the stuff that we're witnessing now with essentially what is Obama's third term is Hillary's agenda as well. So there was that, and I too was that, but I was pro-Trump. That's one thing, and you certainly can have your reservations and then turn around. And she's pro Second Amendment. I believe she served in, there was this whole kerfluffle. Yes, she served in the military or as a guardsman, I believe in the National Guard or the Reserves. And everyone was saying, well, she never produced her records or we don't have it. She's lying about it. And finally, whoops, well, she did indeed serve in the Guard. And then there was this supposed leaked information or Twitter, or it was audio that she was supporting Black, or it was Twitter, that she supported Black Lives Matter. And she didn't. We found out that not only did she not support Black Lives Matter, but she was making a point in her Twitter rant, and it was chopped up and edited by certain people.
She was specifically criticizing BLM and
BLM. Right.
It was a hit job, and the fact that Grinnell supported it makes me want to puke.
I know.
I was all for a DeSantis-Grinnell 2024 ticket. No more. That's beyond the pale. He has lost one supporter. Barnett certainly had some missteps. She's a neophyte, and it doesn't surprise me. I wish she had come forward with her military service documents much, much earlier. It would have eased her transition into the national spotlight a lot more.
What happened was, I think it was her campaign manager who got angry that she was being questioned instead of being a pro and saying, look, I have the documents, here's the documents. And so at that point, it was, I think you and I and even Ace was going, uh-oh, something's going on here.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't back the wrong horse. And then sure enough, we did back the right horse. And then Sean Hannity, frickin' 2 days ago, just disgustingly rips into, it does this smear job on her that was horrible. And basically, I think, helped sink her campaign then and there. She might have been able to maybe get to a three-way tie, but after Hannity slimed her, I think it was all over.
Yeah, but Hannity's a whore. Let's face it. He's a celebrity fluffer. And by the way, did you know that he does karate?
Sean Hannity?
Yeah. Who knew?
Karate. Yeah, well, what I mean,
it's amazing how he talks about it all the time. He's a black belt in something.
I think it's
self-aggrandizement, which is a well-known martial art in the United States.
Yes.
The thing about Hannity is that he takes his marching orders from, let's be fair, from the GOP. He does not attack the GOP nearly as much as he should based on his self-proclaimed politics.
He claims
he's an arch conservative, and he isn't. And anybody who can support Oz, and he had Oz on a lot, apparently. He was a full-throated supporter of him. And then going after Barnett, rather, as you said, it's disgusting. We now know his price.
Well, he's constantly having people on, like, you know, Andy McCarthy. You know, and the so-called Ham and Eggers, who are all the great people from the FBI and the DOJ, which are wonderful institutions, except for a couple of people here and there that make the good look bad. Give me a freaking break. I mean, and it's funny. He's supporting Mehmet Oz because he's, you know, supporting Donald Trump. And it was the FBI and the DOJ and these people that Andy McCarthy claimed that are such wonderful public servants are the ones that are persecuting Donald Trump, fabricated the evidence against Donald Trump, and stabbed him in the back and helped the Democrats steal the 2020 election. So I don't know, you know, the dissonance or the disconnect between you know, Hannity and Andy McCarthy and all of these people with that on one hand, and yet at the same token they claim to be such, you know, wonderful supporters of Donald Trump and the Make America Great Again movement is just it's bewildering to me.
Well, they have their blinders on because, if, you know, any rational analysis of the DOJ and the FBI will show you that those people at the top who are scum, anti-freedom, anti-liberty fascists, where do they come from? They came from entry level 20 or 25 or 30 years ago. That is the structure of the FBI. That is the structure of the DOJ. And anyone who denies that is simply a fool. And Hannity is a fool. McCarthy is a fool.
Exactly. Well, anyway, looking forward, though, we now have, well, whoever it's going to be, it'll be Mehmet Oz and, you know, and it's or David McCormick running against, I'm not sure who the, maybe it's, I think, is it Fetterman? And is, I think it's John Fetterman running
Wow, he's a fucking lunatic, too.
He's out of his mind.
He's a hardcore leftist. He looks like a crazy man. He just had a stroke, apparently, which hopefully will hurt him in the polls. And hopefully Pennsylvania will do the right thing and vote him into oblivion. Although, listen, we're going to have McCormick or Oz, and assuming that Pennsylvania does the right thing. And is that good or bad? I guess it could be worse.
Right. Well, I've always, as we all say, it's like, what good is having the seat, you know, when the seat is occupied by someone who will, you know, who will basically reach across the aisle and do the right thing and not support, you know, and support Democrat positions or maybe compromise with them. And instead of going, you know, 99.999 or 100% leftist, they'll go, you know, 80% leftist. But at least we have comedy comity, supposedly, in the Senate and in Congress. And that's useless. I mean, yeah, Kathy Barnett, let's face it, she would have been, could she possibly have turned into a Mia Love or a Renee Elmers? Yes, certainly she could have. We don't know. She's an unknown quantity. But, you know, there was a shot at that. But I tell you, I'd rather take my chances with her because I can almost guarantee you that Mehmet Oz or David McCormick is definitely going to be turning into a Mitt Romney or, you know, at best, a Lamar Alexander. And that ain't much of a bargain either.
Yes, exactly. That's not going to help drag the country back off the
But supposedly, but Trump actually has had, I mean, before this set of elections, which is kind of a mixed bag for him, if you're keeping score and if that really means something, assuming the bulk of his candidates that he's supporting are not like Mehmet Oz, he's had some very good, I think it was 55-0 in Indiana and Ohio last week with his picks, and he's had some other very good picks. I think it was the governor, whoever's running for governor in Pennsylvania is supposedly a solid MAGA candidate and a bunch of others. He lost a few. I think he lost the Ohio governorship, the primary there, to a basically an establishment candidate. But so far, and if these people, and this is the thing we were talking about with as opposed to, you know, Donald Trump, as opposed to a Ron DeSantis being the standard bearer come 2024, we are now getting more candidates who are picking up the mantle of America First, MAGA, and so on and so forth, and are, you know, we now have, we don't, it's not just a handful of candidates here and there who, if they win, can get corrupted by the Mitch McConnells and Kevin McCarthy's and Paul Ryan's that are there that will corrupt them and will kneecap them if they try to push, you know, a conservative agenda. So now we have many more candidates who are coming to the fore. And if a majority or a good sizable chunk of them do win, that will bolster the, I forget the caucus. Let's say it's the conservative caucus or the Make America Great Again caucus, if you will, in the Senate. And it'll make it that much harder, perhaps, for people like McConnell and McCarthy to corrupt. So that is, I think that's a positive sign.
Oh, I agree. The trend is for me at least, it's cautiously optimistic that the country is seeing these get along to go along establishment politicians as what they are, and that is people who are in it for the graft. And yes, Pennsylvania was a problem. Barnett, I think, is still going to be on the national stage. Hopefully she will have a voice. But as you mentioned, there are a bunch of others who are going to help. Cawthorn down in North Carolina lost his the primary, which I think is a good thing because he's simply too chaotic for a rational movement toward conservatism.
I couldn't figure him out at all.
Yeah, I think he's just a loon.
Feel bad for the guy, you know, because he's, you know, can I say the word cripple? Because he's a cripple, but or an amputee or whatever it is. But that's not, you know. That's not neither here nor there. Just like skin color allegedly is neither here nor there, or sexual orientation. But yeah, he was definitely loopy. So it's better that he's one and done, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you know, the similar thing is what we can thank sponge brain soils pants President Biden there for destroying the country in 6 years, really laying waste of the country in just 16 months. That's really opened up a lot of people's eyes to getting to getting great candidates, not only in the GOP, but getting hopefully relatively speaking, more normal candidates in the Democrat Party, or at least causing a rift in the Democratic Party between the full-on Maoists and just the mere Trotskyites. So that disarray is certainly good news. And because a lot of the base is just saying, this ain't us. I mean, the transgenderism and the destroying our jobs, yeah, great, love you, but no, this is not good. So we may not be voting for Republicans, but we certainly are not going to be voting for Democrats, not with all this going on.
And there's a marvelous reminder to these people every single day when they drive down the road and they see gas at $4.79 a gallon, which is what I saw yesterday. It went up 30 cents in one day in my neck of the woods.
This is the ninth straight day of record gasoline prices. I mean, this is. I'm looking at it as what, 5.6, 5.70 or something, wherever it is. It's like this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, cut you off.
No. It's a daily reminder to the American people that Biden is a destructive man and his policies are destructive, and every single day that gas price smacks him in the face. And it's a cruel thing to say, but it's a good thing that people are reminded of it. The problem, of course, is that prices are going through the roof, because it's not just gasoline, because it's diesel fuel, and diesel fuel runs America, as people have been saying for the last couple of weeks. Duh. And diesel is unbelievable. It's over $6 a gallon where I live, which...
Yeah, diesel is usually like half the price of regular gas.
A little bit less, depending on the mixes that they're making, seasonal mixes.
You know, and again, as we keep saying, it's not only fuel, but everything that we eat, wear, consume, or otherwise are in contact with us, virtually everything is either made from or requires some form of petrochemical in order to be produced. And so forget about even getting it to market. It's even producing it in the first place. And so this is definitely not good. And plus the fact of this whole thing with baby formula. Now all of a sudden children are going to be starving. And the real killer diller of this whole thing, we find out that whatever baby formula is available is being shipped to illegal immigrants. So people are just, I mean, I can't see anyone. I don't care. Look, I don't care if you could be voting for Democrat for year after year after year. If you see this on a daily basis, if you see that kind of thing happening, you could be voting for Democrat forever and ever. But if you see that, that's going to hit you in the face saying, what are these people doing?
Absolutely. And this is the saving grace. And that is that the Democrat Party is misstepping chaotically. They have no idea what they are doing. They have been so insulated from the reality of America for so long that they think it's okay to do what they are doing. And they're making very, very public mistakes. And they're affecting people who would normally not be affected. You know, the working mom who uses formula which is perfectly okay with me. You know, this breastfeeding mania in this country is just nuts. So anyway, the working mom who uses formula so that she can continue to work, I think is usually not going to be the hyper-political person like you and I would be. And all of a sudden, she can't get formula. She goes down to the local drugstore and it's not there. Well, who's she going to blame? She's not going to blame Donald Trump. She's going to blame the senile old fuck in the White House. And you know something? It is his fault. And come November, it's going to bite him in the ass. And it's going to be a wonderful thing to see.
We hope so. This is, of course, as we say, our Chinese Democrat political pollster, Dao Min Yen, notwithstanding, hopefully, the shenanigans. And again, it was the downside is, yeah, they've got the cheat machine, I'm sure, revved and ready to go everywhere and anywhere. But at the same token, they surely had that in Virginia when Glenn Youngkin was going up against Terry McAuliffe. And that is a marquee race for sure in America. And when McAuliffe was shit-canned, and we had Youngkin and this really nice lieutenant governor, Winsome Sears.
Yeah.
When she's terrific. When they came in and when they swept the legislature, that was, you know, this is right in Virginia. This is Washington, D.C.'s, you know, backyard right there. So the fact that they weren't able to steal that, even though I'm sure they tried, that portends well. It means we really now have to overcome the cheat factor. But I think people are so motivated come November that I really can't see the Democrats retaining the House or the Senate. I just can't.
I agree. It's not gonna happen. I'm not planning on some monstrous, supermajority in each House. That's not going to happen. But I think that I haven't been a real Republican many, many years. But no. The Republican Party will retake both. You know, you're talking about Virginia. The lieutenant governor, a black Republican woman, might be the most galling part of that election for the Democrats. How dare she leave the reservation? How dare she leave the plantation? What is going on in America that a black woman can be a Republican? That's just shocking.
And the way people like Winsome Sears and, of course, Clarence Thomas are just so horribly, horribly slimed. And beyond that, it's part and parcel with, if you look at some of the verbiage that leftists, white leftists in particular, always talk about, it's so condescending and patronizing that black people, that Hispanics, that whoever, you see, they're coming for me already, the disinformation police. I'll let that go by. But anyway, it's galling and really disgusting how the language is, well, you can't do anything unless you have our help to do that. You'd be nowhere without white liberals showing you what to do. You're too stupid, you know, to make up your own choices for yourself. And I hope, of course, Clarence Thomas said that so eloquently when he was being, high-tech lynched during his confirmation hearings, that, you know, again, you know, it's for uppity blacks who want to think for themselves. That's exactly what it's all about. And, you know, you get a few cracks like that, and then, you know, black support for Democrats just absolutely craters when they see what's been done to them over the past, forget about just, you know, slavery and Jim Crow, which was Democrat institutions, but post the Great Society, which kept them in cultural and societal chains for the last 70 years. You know, the big deal is abortion now. It's, you know, if it were not for Roe versus Wade, the irony is that black Americans would be like something on the order of over 30% of the U.S. population. Today, because of Roe versus Wade and mass abortion, blacks are at, I think, about 16 or 17% of the population and dropping fast.
Well, they're even less.
Even less.
I think it's about 12 or 13%. I'm not sure that black America would have grown that much.
But it would have definitely grown,
but
sure.
But it certainly would have grown. The insult to men like Clarence Thomas is the height of pomposity and the height of arrogance on the part of the left. And it works for them, not as much with black America now, but it certainly works with their liberal counterparts. The hard left knows very well how to create, I'm trying to think of a good word, pain, I guess.
Black America has been totally, and it's genocide. The policy, the leftist policies that just, we talked about this before, but still, it's always worth bringing up. The leftist policies that kept them in literal in figurative chains to Uncle Sugar, to the government, destroyed the black family, destroyed their independence, made them dependent on the welfare state, you know, fatherless homes, which led to crime, and all of this endless cycle of pain and early death and drug abuse and alcohol abuse and so on and so forth. And ironically, it bred this culture it allowed the notion of perpetual victimhood to creep in. And it's always a recurring theme in black music, in black films, and so on and so forth, saying that black people can never get ahead. And it's taught, these kind of concepts are actually taught in universities. This is where you get this notion of structural racism, that no matter what we do, black people can never get ahead. And so there's no making it. So what they do is, that's why when black students, kids, try to do well in school or study, they are put upon by their, friends and their peers as what, you're acting white. What are you acting white for? And so that whole pressure, and it's horrible. It's just, that is so insidious about this whole thing. And it's just a tragedy.
And that's the brilliance of Trump, that he looked at our economy and thought, well, what's the best way to raise all boats? And that is leave America alone. And what happened? He simply took the cuffs off of our economy, and black employment exploded.